sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. Today's show is the grab bag day, where I answer your emailed questions. I will not be identifying the individuals who have asked these questions, but I will try to answer the questions as fully as possible, which may present a bit of a challenge, as of course I don't have access to your personal situation details, but I will try my best to cover the questions from all angles. So, here it goes. The first question comes to us, should I invest in a TFSA or in an RRSP? Interesting question, and I'm glad to hear this type of question because it tells me that this individual is thinking quite intently about savings. So again, this question is really answered by looking at the specifics of the situation. There isn't a one-size-fits-all answer to this question. So let's start by talking about what these accounts are. So the TFSA, the RRSP, TFSA being the tax-free savings account, and an RRSP being a registered retirement savings plan. Essentially, these accounts are containers. They are not investments in and of themselves. They are containers that I put money into. So I can put money into these containers in a variety of forms. I can use a savings account or multiple savings accounts. I can put money into these containers in the form of a GIC, a term deposit, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, pretty much any type of investment, other than a few conditions where some very specific investments are not allowed in these containers, but the list of what is allowed is much larger than what's not allowed. I can put my money into these containers in a variety of forms, but the purpose of each container is different. So the RRSP, the Registered Retirement Savings Plan, it offers a tax incentive on contributions, and it also offers tax-free growth within the container. So when the money is then needed in retirement, which is the focus of that type of container, the withdrawals that are made from that container at that time are taxed as income. So you're going to include those withdrawals on your income tax filing, and you're going to pay income tax based on your marginal tax rate. Now, that's quite different from the tax-free savings account. The tax-free savings account does not have a tax incentive for contributions, so you are essentially contributing money into the container of a tax-free savings account that you've already paid income tax on. The growth and the withdrawals from that account are tax-free. So here are some rules of thumb that can help you make the choice between the TFSA or the RRSP if you are faced with having money that you need to put into one or other of the containers. So if you earn less than $50,000 a year, a tax-free savings account should be funded first, since you are in the lowest tax bracket here in Canada. Therefore, reducing your taxable income won't further lower your tax rate. If you make $90,000, your tax rate goes up to 40%, so the RRSP will typically benefit you most by bringing down your taxable income. If you earn between $50,000 and $90,000, it makes the most sense to fund both the RRSP and the TFSA until you max out your TFSA. Now, if you have a pension through your employer that offers matching funds, prioritize that above all else. Otherwise, you're throwing away salary money. Please do put your money in your RRSPs if your employer is going to be matching. If you think your retirement, that after retirement age, that it will be greater, your income will be greater than what you earn right now as you're working. Your money really should go into the TFSA first, because it's better to pay the lower income tax rate on that money now rather than the higher rate you would pay in retirement from withdrawing that money out of the RRSP and having that combined with high pension income at that time. Now, if you think you might need the money available to you before retirement age, the TFSA is a more flexible container. Though RRSPs do allow penalty-free withdrawals for school expenses and the home buyer's plan, they typically do not have the same flexibility that a TFSA has. So if you need the money before you retire, the TFSA would be the better option to look at. So that's our first question. Second question in my grab bag today: should I pay down debt or should I invest? Interesting question. Which of these options is going to cost you more money in the long run? That is where I would tend to ask the questions and tend to focus a little bit of investigation as to whether paying down debt or investing the money that I would pay down debt with is going to make more sense. And again, that answer is going to depend on your personal situation. There is a terrific calculator online at www.getsmarteraboutmoney.ca, where you can input your own details and look at this question from a mathematical standpoint as opposed to flipping a coin. My knee-jerk reaction to answer this question is to pay down debt. And the reasoning behind that is debt stresses us and stress kills. So I would rather that you were around an awful lot longer to enjoy your savings. And again, the stress contribution part, or the stress variable, certainly can take away our lifespan from us. So even if our savings aren't quite as big, we're going to be able to enjoy them longer than having more money set aside and a shorter lifespan. So thank you for that question. I hope I've answered that to your satisfaction. Number three question: what effect does inflation have on my savings and investments? What an interesting question. And we've not been having high rates of inflation over the past few years. There is some study behind interest rates being attached to inflation rates, or at very least they affect one another. A very simple rule on that question would be: after tax, the rate of interest you earn on your savings must be greater than the rate of inflation in order for your money to actually be growing. So the inflation component of that question is that inflation attacks the buying power of our money in the future. Now, if we think to a basket of groceries, and you know, we're walking through Superstore and we see the amount of groceries that we have in our buggy, and if we go back 20 years and we have the same amount of groceries in our buggy, we know from experience that it costs so much more to have the same number of items in our baskets and in our buggies. That really is the power of inflation. So it can be negatively affecting our day-to-day cash flow, but it also can be negatively affecting our savings and our investments if we are not consciously looking for higher rates of return in order to combat inflation. Now, in retirement, we can fight the effects of inflation by reducing our monthly expenses and our cash output. Unfortunately, there are a lot of retirees who are in that position right now, and that's a difficult battle to fight because the costs are continually rising and our incomes are not keeping pace with the rising costs of goods. So the best thing for us to do at any age is to really assess our income and our expenses and to get those in line with our goals in order to protect ourselves from the negatives of inflation. Thank you for that question. Next question is: how much money do I need to have available in cash? Now, that's an interesting question, because often the flip side of that question is, how much money do I need to have available in credit for emergencies? So I appreciate that this individual is asking specifically about cash amounts. If you are employed with a steady work history, rule of thumb is 3 to 6 months of living expenses being in savings. If you are an employee who is 100% commission-based income, that number pops up to 6 to 10 months worth of monthly household expenses. Business owners have quite a calculation to go through. They are required really to look at how much cash the business has been consuming or spending each month for about a year's worth of time, and look at forecasts for cash needs for the next year, and truly to have at least 6 months worth of cash commitments for the business locked away. This is a very difficult position to be in, to really have the amount of cash set aside in a savings account that if the world stopped, your world stopped, you found yourself out of work, you had a disability where the disability insurance doesn't kick in for quite some time, having cash available to meet those monthly commitments takes so much stress out of that awfully painful experience. 3 months has been sort of the sweet spot for people that I have worked with who have personally experienced these type of difficulties and challenges. 3 months was enough for them to make the transition and also to transition into lowering their expenses because their income either completely shut off or went to a trickle of what they were used to. But having that 3 months set aside was enough of a buffer that they could really get through the difficult times and learn how to navigate through a whole new set of circumstances that they were facing. So I hope that I've answered that question. If you do need more details personally for these questions, you are more than welcome to contact me at deb@intunefinancial.ca, and I will do my best to email correspond with you to answer those questions as clearly as possible. We are going to take a break. Financial Tune-Up with Deb. We'll be right back after this